אנסה להתחיל עם מי שאני חושבת שאני זוכרת שלא שאלה לפני. ונייתן, הנה נייתן מגיע גם, הצליח לעשות את דרכו פנימה. You can't hear me? Okay. אז אפשר לשאול או באנגלית או בעברית מה שנוח.
Okay, yeah, it's that simple, right? So there's this really kind of good question, which is that, you know, we want to be able to act in the world, and when we act in the world, it is kind of necessary that it actually fabricates, makes a sense of self. Like, I'm doing this because I see it this way, and it kind of, there's a lot of me that kind of arises in there. And the second kind of part of it, which is that when I act, there will be something that people will receive or perceive as satisfactory or not. And the common way, and we understand it because we've also done it ourselves, is that it's the action or the thing that's become the action has become a thing, you know, that has that. That's the thing that's unsatisfying. And like, how do we hold that? And perhaps there's like a further question is like, how do we operate seeing that there is no satisfaction or dissatisfaction in things, but understanding other people will see them that way, right? So, yes, really, really good question. So hopefully there's a sense that there isn't a perfect solution. There isn't also a perfect mapping across of what I can do internally with my own experience and say, ah, I'm thinking that this will be satisfactory or dissatisfactory from its own side, but I can actually see there's just different ways of seeing this. I can see that particular actions and activities really are building up my self-view, and it really depends on how I think other people see me. Yeah? And that really depends on how I see them, right? Because if I see them in a certain way, then I see them seeing me in a certain way, and I feel about me, and that's how I kind of get a good sense of myself. And I say, whoa, what an interesting, what a long way around to go for getting a sense of myself. And also, what I'm imagining them imagining me, so there's a lot of imagination going on here to create this sense of self. And we kind of like see that thing, and like you're doing, and like people are doing, and we'd have a little laugh about that. It's like, oh, okay, so that's how it's made. You know, not quite as serious as I thought. So kind of then broadly, when we want to look at our actions and our activity in the world, one of the really good skills that you'll see in people that I would say are kind of, oh, they're quite awake people, they're quite skilled people in the kind of art of living a life, are people who can kind of see their own wants and desires and evaluate them next to other people's wants and desires when they kind of get into conflict. And it's like, oh, I see it this way. It's like, oh, you see it that way. Who's actually got the most beings in mind? You know, who's got the most kind of compassion going on there? You know, as if you kind of like bring two other beings, they come to you. You think, actually, like really clearly this one, or really clearly this one. And then we check, well, which one was me? Oh, right, it was that one. Oh, okay, that's a coincidence. I agree with myself. It's like, oh, that's interesting. I don't back myself on that one. And that's such a skill to kind of learn, to be able to kind of take in the feeling. And it's definitely not a perfect outcome. And definitely living a life involves being the object of another person's disappointment at times. You know, so can't always avoid that. And sometimes it's necessary to be that. Yeah, so this is kind of this question. I feel that I want to be liked, and you can understand that it can come from kind of like two sides. One is, please like me, despite everything that I do, just like me anyway. And there's another side which is like, please like me, and for that I'm going to try and live the most ethical and loving and considered kind of existence. And they're kind of like two different ways. And then, you know, something else that you said that was, but yeah, if we just take those two versions, we can say that, you know, I want to be liked, but I also want to be true to something deeper than whether you do or don't. Yeah, and there's something in the way that I take care of myself, self-care, self-love, self-appreciation, self-tolerance, you know, it's like encouragement of my own best qualities, that hopefully means that it's not that I need you to like me to make me enough, you know. No one can or kind of cannot make you enough. But you know, we try and live in this world in ways which improve the situation for everyone in it, you know, including ourselves. Yeah, it's complex. There's no kind of good answers for this, I think. But it's like Zahar was saying the other day, it's like that's the kind of question that if we hold it in the right way, it leads us onwards on this path. You know, if we hold it the wrong way, it doesn't. Yeah, like, oh, I shouldn't want people to like me, or it's really important that people like me. But actually, there's a kind of a deeper question here. It's like, what's really kind of going on in there? How am I holding this? How am I framing this? So, anyone else have a response to the practice?
So the question is, just trying to understand, if this is not me, does it mean that there is no me? And this is, it's really delicate, this terrain. What I was giving yesterday is that image of the ridge with the two midronot on either side, that we very kind of how we are taught to live, how our mind is trained, is in this very extreme duality of either there is not or there is. And what the teachings are saying in this practice of not me, not mine, not myself, what it's saying is the way we take ourselves to be, that is what we're questioning. So it's neither nor. זה לא שאנחנו, זה לענות לך בעברית. I don't know why I was saying it in English. לענות לך בעברית. I'm teaching you? Yeah, right. האמירה הזאת, זה לא אני, זה לא שלי, זה לא עצמי, היא לא אומרת שאין, כן? היא אומרת, ההסתכלות שלנו, מה קורה כשאני מסתכלת בדרך הזאת? ובגלל זה הדיוק הזה של החבר שלי, זה לא רק לפעמים עוזר, כי הוא עושה שם, הוא כאילו מוריד את ה... שומר עלינו מליפול למדרון של זה לא אני, או אין אני, או אין קיום, או אין. ובעצם יש כאן התהוות, כן? ההיזכרות שלנו, יש כאן התהוות, זה לא משהו, התחושת העצמיות שלנו, שהיא מרגישה נפרדת, נבדלת עצמאית, כשאנחנו לא בוחנות אותה ולא מתבוננות בה, היא ההרגל, אבל היא לא מדויקת לחוויה שלנו כשאנחנו חוות אותה יותר, ומעניין אותנו לראות איך הנבדלות הזאת של העצמיות, והממשיות שלה, מה הקשר בינה לבין יותר ופחות דוקה בחוויה שלנו. זה העניין. בדיוק קראתי ציטוט, אני מדבר לכם, אני ונייתן קראנו, אני קראתי אותו וקראתי לו לראות, כי תניסו רוביקו, מורה שאנחנו מאוד אוהבים, וקראתי מאמר שלו על הנושא הזה, והוא כותב שם, נראה אם אני אזכור, שהאינטרפטציה או התרגום של הנטע, כן, של התרגול הזה, או המושג הזה בבודיזם, כ-no self, כן, במקום not self, כן, no self, השלילה של העצמיות, הוא אומר, is the granddaddy of all fake Buddha quotes. חתיכת אמירה, סבא של כל התרגומים הכוזבים של הבודה. ולפעמים זה, גם בגלל שיש מסורות אחרות, כמו הרבה מהמסורות, יש מסורות אחרות שמדגישות את זה, אבל גם בתוך הבודיזם יש לפעמים את הבלבול הזה. אבל מה שחשוב לנו, אני מביאה כאן עוד תוספת שאולי מבלבלת, מה שחשוב לנו זה לראות את זה כלזכור, זה לא האמירה, זה לא שאין, זה שזה לא כמו שאנחנו נוטות לראות את זה. וחזרה שוב ושוב לחוויה שלנו והשחרור מדוקה, מה הקשר בין יותר נבדלות, יותר ממשות, יותר ווליום יותר גבוה, לבין פחות או יותר דוקה. כן? ואז איך אנחנו לומדות לשחק בטריטוריה הזאת. עונה? תודה. כן, היו עוד כמה, בואו נראה עוד פעם את כל הידיים כדי ש... אוקיי, רין, לדעתי אתה לא שאלת עדיין. אני מנסה ללכת עם הזיכרון שלי, אני מקווה שאני צודקת. כן. כן. אז אני אחזור על השאלה, התרגול נתן תחושה של רווחה, אבל הוא גם יצא, אבל הייתה תחושה גם של ריחוק. והריחוק התחושה של הריחוק מהחוויה היא מדהיגה. אז מה שהייתי אומרת, אם זה מעניין אותך, תמשיך בתרגול, כן, מתוך הראייה הזאת, כן, וזה יכול להיות מה שאמרתי בסוף של ההנחיות, לגבי זה שלפעמים תחושת ההקלה והרווחה, היא באה באיזשהו תדר שהוא פחות מוכר לנו, כן? וזה יכול גם להרגיש כמו ריחוק, או כמו קרירות, כל מיני דברים כאלה. אז להיות ברגישות, כן? ולראות איך זה, כן? ולסמוך על התבונה שלך, שם, ולאזן עם מספיק מטה ומה שאנחנו קוראים סמאדי, כן? איסוף ומשאול בתוך התרגול, במקביל לתרגול הזה, כן? חלק מהזמן ככה, חלק מהזמן ככה, ותהיה בקשב, ותראה אם לפעמים אפשר ככה בתוך התחושה הזאת של הריחוק לבדוק, יש איזה דימוי אחד שריחוק של להיות בקרבה שווה לכל הדברים, כן? אנחנו יכולות לשחק עם התפיסה. זה חלק ממה שקורה, כן? יש איזה משהו של פחות אחיזה, והוא יכול להרגיש, הפחות האחזות יכולה להרגיש כריחוק. ואז אם אני אומרת, אם אני רואה את זה לא כריחוק, אלא כקרבה, אבל יותר שווה אל הדברים. אז ככה, להיות שם בעניין, במשחקיות, בחקירה, להכיר את הטריטוריה יותר, ולזכור שתמיד יש לנו בחירה. כן? לאן, מה אנחנו מדגישות, לאן אנחנו הולכות עם התרגולים שלנו. תודה. זה בסדר שאני אתרגם, שנתרגם לאנגלית ונייס, כדי שנייסן אולי יוכל לענות? Okay, I'm gonna, yeah. Well, I need to repeat it anyway. So I'm gonna repeat it in English and then you can decide if you want to answer it or not. So the question before was about a sense of relief in the practice, but it feeling quite cool and having a sense of what's this coolness and a little bit of concern because not wanting to be distant, a sense of distance from. And Ziva's continuing and saying there was a sense of relief, a sense of real quieting down of everything, which had a coolness to it, but felt in itself good, right? Yeah, in a way, yeah. And then, but afterwards, when the meditation ended, there was a kind of a fear arose because it felt like a complete restart. And it was kind of like, oh, what is this? Like, it was in the meditation, not at the end of the meditation. Okay. And then two questions arising from that. One is, overall, it felt good. But is there a danger in doing this? Is there a risk? Relating like to that fear that's come up. And the second question is, does one need a whole week of retreat before doing this practice, or is this a practice that we can also do in our daily life? Is this accurate? Okay.
Yeah, with the second part of the question, is this a practice we can do in our daily life? It's going to be some of the theme of what I want to kind of talk about tonight, but you'll kind of be able to see for yourself if you can do it or not, and what you need to be able to support you to do it. So a really kind of key thing that responds a bit to that question, but also describes a little bit more the whole kind of framework, and maybe then brings us into the first part of the question, which is we're playing with a perception of our self. We are not actually doing anything fundamental to the self that we imagine that we are, but kind of sense, right? So it's like, we said this thing the other day, which is actually we are interior to our awareness with a sense of our awareness as a perception within our awareness, right? There's a perception of awareness. You know, you notice you have an awareness. Okay, but that's inside the awareness, right? Okay, and here we have a sense of ourself. And who the hell is having that sense of a self, right? There's some other self. It's like, yeah, and that's who I am. And it's like, what do you mean? How do you manage to point at yourself within yourself? And it's like, okay, none of this makes sense. Let's play with a different sense of self within this self. Yeah, it's like, let's play with a different sense of awareness, a really vast, expansive awareness, or a really narrow, focused awareness. It's like different types of awarenesses within awareness, different types of sense of self within something, yeah, that knows this is who I am. Yeah, something is knowing, oh yeah, that's who I am. When we play in this way, we're like playing a part, like an actor who's playing a part fully for real. There is no me. There is no me. You can't see me. I've disappeared completely. And it's like, wow, that's really nice. Or, well, that's really weird. I don't recognize myself here. Like, there's nothing reflected back in the mirror. We're playing with the perception of ourself. We're playing with the perception of ourselves. And some of those perceptions of ourselves are very unfamiliar, right? And it's like we're eating something for the first time and we're like, I don't recognize this. I don't think I like it. No, I kind of like it. Oh, it finishes there. Wow, it's still tasty, even though it's gone. And it's like that kind of thing. And so over time, we become familiar with these territories, yeah? Sometimes in my meditation, actually yesterday, I was recalling, I remembered like a childhood nightmare, and it had this taste to it. I was remembering that taste, and I was like, would it be interesting to bring that into a meditation where I've softened, I've eased, I've welcomed myself, and then just bring that in. Just, can I hold that thing I used to be afraid of, that used to really worry me, concern me, in this space, a different set, a different setting? And it was like, yeah, there was a love in that fear also, and really being able to tune in and actually be able to pull out that flavor and really encourage that. And so like when we're playing with these different perceptions, it's like, that's weird, and then slowly it's like, oh, it's made up of these elements, and there's something beautiful, there's also something scary. But if you want the beauty, maybe also we have to work our way into being able to be with things that can worry us. And just watching out for that habitual quality is like, unfamiliar means unwanted, means also dangerous. Is it dangerous? Did it feel dangerous? And then I'm back. Has it impacted my ability to perceive myself this way? Maybe I don't believe it as much as I used to. I kind of like, but actually that's good. That's good, because anyway my sense of self is changing, because it's dependently arising on different circumstances, different experiences, and there's some sense, actually maybe that fluidity is good for me. Yeah, and if it feels like it's good for you, then keep exploring. Broadly speaking, if we have some kind of diagnosis or something, like multiple personality experience and things like that, then maybe this would be unsupportive. Yeah, but for most people, actually admitting that there are many selves in me, some very strong, some very fixed, some very loose, some very light, and we move through that, and we're actually learning that skill of being able to be dynamic, being appropriate, being able to turn it on, turn it off, turn it up, turn it down, widen it out, narrow it in focus, all of that is healthy, healthy skill to have. So if it feels suitable, yeah. Should be good. Sure. So it's really rattly. I like the wind, but I couldn't hear you exactly so well. So if I don't, if it's good, or I'm not sure if I'm interested in. So that was kind of what I was meaning, like when we taste something for the first time and we're like, you know, whatever it is, mustard as a child or something, and then after a while it's like, I can't eat anything without, you know, I can't eat this particular thing unless it's got the mustard on it, because, you know, so it can be it doesn't feel good because it's not familiar. It could be it doesn't feel good because I actually didn't do enough samadhi, you know, that kind of, I didn't do enough metta. And if I come into it from there, you know, like you don't want to eat mustard out of the jar, you know. So you want to combine it with the metta, with the samadhi, with the other aspects of a meal, you know. So just checking in with that, and you know the general sticker that comes on all of these practices: you don't have to do it. Do it when you want to do it. Do it when it feels helpful, right? No one's pushing any of these things as things you have to do. And perhaps if you don't feel to do it, it's better not to do it. And then do it when you do feel to do it. It's like, oh, I want that ingredient. So, yeah. Okay, so so it's already 11 o'clock. If you want to have a full kind of good time with some walking, then feel free to go, and we'll take the remaining questions. Where do we start? Start with you. Yeah, go for it.
אז השאלה היא איפה התרגול הזה או ההסתכלות הזאת, איפה היא יושבת בתוך גם אחריות או מעורבות בחיים שלנו, במעשים שלנו, בבחירות שלנו ובתוצאות שלנו. מספיק מדויק כתקציר? כן. אז קודם כל, את גם כאילו, אנחנו נורא בקלות נופלות להגיד אם אין אני, אם אין עצמי, אז זה לא אין עצמי. ושוב אני אזכיר, אם זה מביא אותנו למקום הזה של זה לא אני, זה לא עצמי, זה לא שלי, זה אומר, זה מביא לנו את ההרגשה שבעצם אין מעורבות, כי אנחנו לא חלק מהתנאים והנסיבות שמייצרים את החוויה שלנו, אז יכול מאוד לעזור להשתמש בה לא רק. כן? זה לא רק אני, זה לא רק, כי זה עוזר ליישב את האי-בהירות. הזו, וזה באמת מתחבר לשאלה הקודמת של המקום של איפה ההסתכלות הזאת יושבת בתוך השדה הכללי של התרגול שלנו, והכוונות שלנו, כן? שהן גם כוונות של למידה, גם כוונות של צמיחה, הן גם כוונות של מעורבות, הן גם כוונות של אחריות, הן גם כוונות של לא לגרום נזק, כן? וזה, אנחנו מסתכלות על איך זה משפיע על החוויה במובן של איפה זה משחרר את הקיבוץ שמגביל אותנו ופותח לנו אפשרויות של מענה. אז ניקח דוגמה, הרבה פעמים במקומות שלמשל אני ארגיש חרטה על דברים שעשיתי, ייכנסו איכויות כמו אשמה, כן? וביקורת עצמית שמקבצות, מגבילות, יוצרות זהות מסביב לדבר הזה שלא מאפשרת לי ללמוד, או אפילו לא מאפשרת לי לבקש סליחה לפעמים, כן? ולא מאפשרת לי לתקן. אז ככה, הראייה הזאת שעוזרת לכבץ, זה לא, זה שוב גם לזכור, זה דרך הסתכלות, ולא, אנחנו לא מחפשות כאן אמת אבסולוטית, אלא דרך הסתכלות מה היא מאפשרת. ותמיד לזכור במה זה בשירות של מה זה. כן? וזה בשירות של לצמוח, לגדול, להעמיק, ולהמעיט סבל עבורי ועבור אחרות. אז הלמידה הזאת כאן. כן? וכן, זה אומר לפעמים לשחרר דברים שאני לא יכולה לשנות, כן? בעבר, ולקחת מהם את הלמידה. ולראות איך אני, מתוך ההתכווננות הזאת, כי העצמיות שלי היא בהתהוות, היא מותנית גם מאוד על ידי הרגלים שלי, הדברים שאני עושה, הדברים שאני חוזרת עליהם, לעומת האפשרויות החדשות שנפתחות. תודה. כן, דוד, אתה מחכה בסבלנות. אני הבנתי שאני צריכה לצאת ללכת לשיחה אישית עוד 3 דקות, אז אני רק רוצה לבדוק אם אחת מהשאלות האחרות הן בעברית, כדי שאני אוכל לענות בעברית לפני שאני הולכת, ואת השאלה שלך דוד נייס אני אענה אחרי, בסדר? יש שאלה בעברית? נועה? אוקיי. אז השאלה היא על הסוטה שציטטתי אתמול, שמדגישה את זה שהפעולה מבנה את תחושת העצמי באותו רגע. וזה תיאור, זה לא הגדרה, זה תיאור. כן? אז של איך אנחנו הרבה פעמים, איך החוויה שלנו מובנית. כשאני עושה מדיטציה, עולה הסלף של המודדת. כן? כשאני מלמדת, עולה הסלף של המורה. כשאני מבשלת, עולה הסלף של הטבחית. והשאלה שלך הייתה, האם זה מצמצם? או... זה אחד, לא, לא, זה לא השחרור, זה לא מתאר את השחרור, זה פשוט דרך אחרת לראות איך התחושת העצמי נבנית, ועם פחות, ולראות גם מתוך כך איך היא משתנה, כן? העובדה שהיא בהתאם, כל פעם, אני עושה משהו אחד, אז אני הדבר הזה, כן? סתם, אני הולכת לעבודה, אז אני הפקידה, ואני חוזרת הביתה, אז אני האימא, כן? כי לראות את התנועה הזאת, ובעצם איך זה כל הזמן דבר שמובנה על ידי הנסיבות, והוא לא קבוע. כן? זה מה שהסוטה הזאת מצביעה עליו. כן? יופי.
I think there also might be one more element in this kind of sutta, if we kind of understand, if I'm understanding what was just being said, which is that's an enormous if, and also if I understand what the Buddha was up to, and if we're even talking about the same sutta, it's about this kind of sense of identity that shifts through time, dependent on activity. Yeah. Hey. All right. And now what I'm feeling is so it's kind of actually really questioning people putting themselves up, right? Because of like gathering other elements of this identity, you know. So it's kind of like if we even extend it, it's like mothers are caring people, and I'm a mother. So how can you say I'm not caring? You know, and that whole kind of framing of that identity becoming very, very strong. Whereas it's like, if mothers are caring, be caring. Right? Don't be so entangled in the identity. Be more moving through the activity. Yeah. If that's what you say you're doing, then do that thing. Yeah. If you're saying, you know, my women are more intelligent, and how can you question my intelligence? It's like, well, act intelligently, and it will be enough. It will be sufficient. Yeah. And we're not so entangled in identity, and much more in activity. And so, in a way, the not self-teaching is stepping out of what we might call an essence, this is who I am, to an activity. How shall I act? What self-view encourages the most beneficial actions, like we were kind of saying in the earlier one? Right, so I don't know if that, probably Zara said all that, but in case that was helpful to make more clear. Do we have another question as well as the question about... we had before. Is there still one more? You had one? Yeah. Okay. Sure, let's take yours and then we'll come on to this one. I'm also going to touch some of this tonight, so kind of just give a highlight and then advertise my talk for this evening and then sell some tickets and then send you out for some walking. Yeah. So perfect. So yeah, this is also something we'll talk a little bit more about. But yeah, generally, is it good? You know, I'm going to do breath and things like that to stabilize myself, and then I could bring in the anicca, I could bring in the vedana, I could bring in the anatta. And is it okay to kind of combine them together through a session, right? In a way, just firstly to say, it's your life, it's your practice. If you think so, go for it. In another way, we could say, this is about building a skill, and what we want to understand is, if I do this, right, you think about this Buddha quote, I popped him up on the thing, what when I do it will lead to my long-term well-being and satisfaction, you know, it's like, what's going to work for me? And perhaps I really need to understand, what does a anicca do, precisely, what's that actually doing to my experience, right, and let's say, like, I notice it's brightening my experience, right, Oh, it's enlivening my experience. It's making my attention really sharp and interesting. I'm seeing all the details and what comes alive there, right? And then I'm also then just doing a bit of the Vedana things, and I don't get to notice that so much, right? Because maybe the Vedana thing is actually softening me and like easing me and opening me out like that. So I've got this kind of brightening thing going on here. Now I'm doing this softening thing here, and it's because I haven't been able to do one so fully and really see. Oh, I did that to the pleasant things, and then my experience was pleasant for a while, and I kept doing it, and it got wild, or it's like, and then it went unpleasant, and I practiced it there. Right, of course, there's a bit of Vedana language in there, right? But I'm not practicing, oh, just seeing the Vedanas, and it's like I'm seeing them as a Nietzsche. I'm seeing them, whatever's arisen in that way. And I see, oh, it does really different things on the unpleasant, does really different things on the pleasant, does really different things neither nor. It does really different things through this sense door and through that sense door. So we've really like becoming a master of that ingredient. Yeah, it's like if you know, you add a spice to this dish, and then you think, I wonder what it would be like if I added it to this dish. And it's like, oh, I made it like that. And so we really get to know each of these practices like they're a spice in the kitchen or like they're a colour in our paintings or things like that. So it's quite helpful to separate them. Yeah. But remembering that first point, if it's more fun, do them together. But if you want to become a master of it, a really creative superstar of this kind of thing, do them one at a time. Maybe like over a week. So I'm really going to focus on that one. Get to know it in different circumstances, different postures, different times of the day. It's, oh, what it does, what it can do, how I feel, how it makes the world appear. And we really get to know it that way. Thank you. Okay, so got some time still, including running over. I promised Azar that I would be able to remember it all, and of course I can't. But do you want to just reframe it just in a... the continuity, yeah. Got it. Yeah, so we're engaged in our life in big projects sometimes, yeah? Or we could view something as like, this is a big project. And something that we're doing here is kind of coming back into a present moment, and it's just this moment, we're just relating to it in this way. And it's also, I think, kind of like diffusing the normal kind of tension in the attention that we bring to a project, that staying power as we know it, yeah? And our practice could be like a long-term project, passion, play kind of thing that's unfolding for us, and we want to stay engaged with that in supportive ways. So it's going to be up to you to kind of see how you integrate these things with your life. And as I say, I'm going to talk about a few of these flavors later, so if there's anything I can particularly say now is, you know, different parts of a project, different parts of a life involve and are supported by different ways of seeing them, yeah? And oftentimes we might be at the beginning of something and we notice it might be the beginning of a meditation, it might be the beginning of a relationship, it might be the beginning of a project or whatever, and we're actually already thinking about it being over. Yeah, it's like probably many of us have had the thought, and this retreat will end and then it'll all be fine again, you know, something like that. And it's like, oh, that's interesting that we think that. And that's taking me away from my capacity to really be in this and meet it responsively. Or I might be in the experience, the project, and we just notice I've gotten tight. And it's like, is that contributing? Because that's my normal way of being here, is like I get tight around this. And it's like, if I loosen, can I still stay engaged and sensitive and committed? In short, what I would say is that look at each event in our life and really ask ourselves, what does this require of me? Like, how is it that I want to show up? How is it that I want to see it through? How is it that I want to be here? And then just make sure that that's what we're practicing getting good at. Yeah, because if we're not practicing that moment to moment, then it's not the thing that we get good at. So if we practice waiting for the bell to ring, instead of really getting into our breath and our sounds and all of that, then what we become good at is waiting for bells to ring, right? And that's not what we came here to get good at. So just being really clear, it's like, am I actually cultivating the qualities that I want to see in my life? Does my meditation practice look like that? Or does it look like something else? Yeah. Like someone might say, what I really want is more, you know, intimate, connected relationships. But what I do with my time is sit in the dark on my own with my eyes closed. And it's like, okay, is it working out? Are you getting more of that intimate connections and things which are actually encouraging you to be courageous and go out and not feel such a strong sense of self and dependency? And it's like, no. So make sure you practice the things that you want to get good at in the places also where you want to get good at them. Yeah. So that's kind of a broad stroke to the thing. Does that speak to your inquiry? Yeah. 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 Great. So the kind of the follow-up of the question, and yeah, I agree, I didn't really address this part particularly very well, which is that our practice here, and practice in general, as it's been described to us, whether we've, you know, practiced just for this week or for years, we might have a sense that what meditation means, what samadhi means, what being gathered in well-being means, is actually a kind of a dropping down into peacefulness, into non-interaction, into okayness from my own side, into all of this kind of thing. And it's kind of, we've actually just turned down the reactivity, we've also turned down the passion, we've also turned down the enthusiasm, we've also turned down the excitement, and we just turned down everything, and then I'm just above asleep. And I kind of go through life. And it's very, very beautiful that we can do that, says a lot. Right, but the fundamental understanding that we're interested in is that this is a perception. How is it being fabricated? How is it being conditioned? How is it being created this way? Now, if you can turn the volume down, it's the same thing. You just turn it the other way to turn the volume up, right? And what we actually want to get skilled at is turning dials. Can you get yourself enthusiastic, interested, passionate, engaged, bright, enlivened, like out of your chair with excitement about that I'm still alive? Yeah? And it might just be that you just consider, I could have been dead by now. You know? Could have gotten food poisoning on the first day, something terrible, shocking happened, boom, I wouldn't even be here. And here I am, just sitting here, taking it for granted. Ridiculous. This is such a precious moment. I'm going to wake up, really be alive, be fully present with this next breath and feel it. Wow, coming alive in my body. And it's like we learn how to adjust these things. Whether we talk ourselves into it, feel our way into it through the body. You know, feel how alive, feel that aliveness in you, that proof that you're alive. You feel it? Just get into that. Enjoy it. Let it be embraced by the breath, by the sensations, all of that. So there's different ways of practicing. We kind of emphasize a lot the calming down, the releasing, the soothing, because, my God, we need it. You know, most people are overtired, overstressed, over anxious. But once we've gotten down to a certain level of feeling okay, that's okay, let's brighten it back up again, right? Feel that alignment in the posture. Take a stand, you know? There's a lovely Rumi poem that says, you know, don't go back to sleep. Don't go back to sleep. All right. Thank you. Enjoy your practice.